Good morning. Come on, it's Sunday. We're in God's house. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. I like to have this plan, and I don't have any notes about this part because I had a plan, and the plan can go for months in advance on the direction and everything that I think that we're going, and I can plan out these different messages and work on these things, and then every now and then I just get this, something says we need to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to tell you guys kind of what that was this morning, because for a long time we planned on the marriage series, and we did the Christian living before that, and then for today it's going to be this thing all about the church vision, and then we're going to go into prophecy for the coming Messiah and his birthday for Christmas. And this morning whenever I was getting ready and I was back there on the computer, I start clearing out my email because I can't stand to have anything like unread in my email. It's a weird thing. So I look at stuff, and in the Cornerstone email, there was a thing from Skit Guys about Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up. I need to plan a message for that, right? And then I'm like, oh man, it's Thursday though. That's supposed to be today. So I didn't have a whole lot of time. We're going to still talk about Thanksgiving today because that's important, and I'm going to share that a little bit later on. But today what I want to talk about is more of the last year and where we're headed and things like that, so that you guys will kind of have an idea on that. And we've got a business meeting today about our budget, which I need to print off some of those budget sheets. I forgot. But anyway, in the last year, and it has been almost a year, it was October 6th of 2014 that the church voted to keep these doors open, and we had to bring in a new leadership team, and we did that, and then we ended up voting in some more leaders into the church. One of them has gone on to a different ministry, but we've had a lot of changes in the last year, and those changes came after a lot of like heartache things, and so we've had to go through a time of healing, which I think we're getting closer and closer to that time kind of being there, and we're starting to grow, and I think things are looking up. But in the last year, I wanted to talk about the different accomplishments that we've done as a group here at Cornerstone, because we've done quite a few, and sometimes we lose track, and I'm sure that some of them I won't think about, because all that I wrote down in here is accomplishments, so these are coming from memory, and we all know how my memory is. So last year, in November, at Thanksgiving time, we fed 5 families. That's what I think church is supposed to be about. We fed 5 families. At Christmas time, we fed some more. We had gifts out for people. And in the last year, we read the New Testament together. We did that with the CDs with the British accent. You guys remember that, right? Coming up in the beginning of the new year, we're going to do the Old Testament together. And I've got that same dude reading the Old Testament, so get ready. So that's going to be coming up before too long. And in the last year, we have gained some new families. We have lost a few families, but other people have gone on to different things they're called to, and that's all right. And we're finding people that want to come out here and be part of Cornerstone, and that's awesome too. We did a parade last year. We gave a whole bunch of water away at the parade that we had this year. We have voted in a new pastor. We had a interim pastor for a while. Both of those guys were the same. That's me. So we had that. We did a marriage series, y'all. I can't remember, like, for the entire time I've been going here, I don't think we ever really did a marriage thing. And those of you that have been here for a lot longer than me, I don't know if they did before I got here or kind of those kind of things, but we did a marriage series. Last weekend, we got to hang out with a whole bunch of people, and I think we all had fun, right, the people that were part of that. Then we went to Kirk Cameron, and that was something cool. And there's going to be more things that we're going to talk about later that I saw from the marriage series. But we've got a lot of accomplishments as a small church in the last year, and I think that we need to recognize that and know that God is moving in this church still. It's a small church, but God's still here. He's still moving. He's got us working for Him, and we're doing our best to be part of the community and to bless them and to be maybe the only Jesus that the community could see coming from people. So it's an awesome thing to be part of Cornerstone Church. So back there on the thing that I left for Patrick, I actually drew an arrow down, and I'm going to try to figure out where that's at. But the first thing I want to talk about before I go there, and I think this is what comes up next, is the kind of church that we're not. Because whenever we think about church, we always think about, we should do like this, we should be like that, and everybody comes in with different ones. We've got people here with Catholic backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, Methodist backgrounds. We've got a different set of people here at Cornerstone. We come from all these different backgrounds, but the kind of church that we're not is we're not going to ever be FBC. We're not going to be like them, not because there's anything wrong with FBC. There's a lot of things right with FBC, and they're doing a great job over there. They're reaching the lost, they're reaching the unchurched, and they're doing what FBC is called to do, and that is a great thing. A lot of people think of like Stonewater. We see Stonewater as like this, you know, big, great church. They're growing in Granbury. They've now got the Glenrose campus. They've got Weatherford. They've got Cleburne. They're doing what God called them to do, and I don't think that we can ever be a miniature Stonewater. For one, if we turned up our music that loud, our walls would start coming apart inside of here, and we don't want that to happen. But we can't be like a small version of a mega church. We're not the cowboy church, so we're not going to have a rodeo arena out here in the back. I don't think. If God says we need to have one, we may, but I don't foresee that in the future. Now, that's not to say that this church here may not have a rodeo arena back there someday, because maybe Cornerstone will outgrow this place and will bless another cowboy church with this building, and they'll do whatever they want to do out there. So that's kind of a neat thing. So Cornerstone is not going to be like the other churches. We're going to be different. That's just what we are. We're a small church out here in the country, and we're going to reach as many people for God as what He calls us to do. So those are the kind of things that we're just not going to be. We're not going to be like other churches, not because there's anything wrong, but because God's called us to be different. Just like He's called FBC to be different, He's called the Methodist Church to be different, He's called the Cowboy Church to be different, and we're just one of those churches. So with that being said of what we're not, I want to look at the kind of church that I think that we should want to be and that I feel like we can be and that we will be. And to do that, I want to read Acts 2, 42 through 47. Is that where I put it in the notes? Sweet. So Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says that they devoted, and this is talking about the believers, the new believers there. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing and proceeds to all as any had need. I want to stop right there to say that I'm not about to ask everybody to sell all their stuff, so calm down. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day to those who were being saved. So I think if we look at this scripture of that beginning church and we see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. We have the apostles' teachings in the New Testament here that we can go through and dedicate ourselves to learning that. We should be reading our Bibles every day and learning about the apostles' teachings, what they said. They broke bread together and fellowship. How many of you guys love the fellowship here at Cornerstone? I love it. We get to eat at least once a month, and more likely we're going to eat more times than that here together and hang out and encourage each other. So we're great on the fellowship side of things. So we're doing great in those areas, but they spend a lot of time in prayer and praying for everybody, and I think that is a great thing also, to spend our time in prayer. The church that I want us to be, whenever I think of Cornerstone and what my vision would be, is I wrote down, or I got a story here from Charles Spurgeon, and I'm going to read that to you guys, and then we'll move into the next part. So, well, the story goes that on one Sunday, five young college students who were preparing for the ministry visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle to hear Spurgeon speak. While waiting for the church doors to open, Charles Spurgeon himself approached them and asked if they would like to see the powerhouse of this great church. The soon-to-be preachers were delighted to see the secret to the power of this church, so Spurgeon led them through a long hallway, down a stairway, and cautiously opened a door at the bottom. What the five young men saw astonished them. Looking through this open doorway, they saw about 700 church members bowed in prayer, asking God for His blessing on the upcoming service. That, said Spurgeon, is our powerhouse. Isn't that awesome? They've got people there praying downstairs in their basement for this church service. And I hope that someday we can have a prayer service before our services also, that we just spend the time in prayer praying for that service, that lives would be changed during that service. And I thought that's neat. That's the powerhouse of His church. That's what He attributed, is their time in prayer to God so that God could bless their church. So I think that we should want to be a church that is a training ground for believers to follow the Great Commission. And the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and I don't know if I've got that back there, is when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. He had already risen from the dead, and he was about to ascend. There were over 500 people there, and he says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always unto the end of the age." So I want to view church as like a training ground for people to follow the Great Commission. Because I think that if we don't focus on equipping believers to go out and do what we're called to do, then we get stuck in this rut of just doing church. We get stuck in thinking, oh, Sunday's coming up, we got to go and be there by 10:40, and then we're going to go into the sanctuary and we're going to sing a few songs, and then there's going to be a message, and then we're going to go home and eat lunch, and we get caught in this like rut of things, and we just get used to doing church instead of being the church, and we be the church outside of these walls. We take care of the poor, we take care of the widows, we be the church, and again, we may be the only Jesus that people see out there. Our mission kind of follows the Great Commission. Have you guys heard me say in messages before that our mission here at Cornerstone, and I may not say it like that, but is to lead people to Christ and be conformed in his image? Have you guys heard that? I usually say that somewhere in just about every message because I want us to always be thinking about that. I think the Cornerstone should be a church that looks different. That comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So I think that we need to be focused on the new creation that we are in Jesus. If people see the new that we are and they know the old, that gives us opportunity to, when they say, "What happened to you? What is there? Something different? I don't understand what's going on." And then you get the opportunity to say, "I've been made a new creation by Jesus. Here's why." And you get the chance to share the gospel, which comes from us training people how to be equipped to share the gospel. So being a church that looks different, we should be different in that aspect, that people see the old is gone, the new has come, and we are new creations in Jesus, and that is awesome. And people will see that something is different out at Cornerstone, and they'll want to be part of that. We should want to be a church that prays for and reaches the lost and the unchurched. To define that a little bit, the lost are people that have never heard of Jesus, that don't know Jesus, they have nothing to do with Jesus, so they're lost. They need to be found, and Jesus uses his people to go out and speak the gospel to people as part of the Great Commission. The unchurched are believers that they may have attended church at one time, they may have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they got either burnt at some kind of church in some sense, something happened that makes them not really want to be inside of a church building, or the unchurched could be someone that they just finally got to where, you know what, I don't really have to be part of a church because I believe in Jesus, I pray to him every day, and I don't really have a need to go to any building on Sundays. And that's great, and I don't believe we have to be saved. But I do believe that in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews said that we should not forsake the assembly of believers. So we need to gather together to be encouraged, be uplifted, to see what God's doing in others' lives and in our lives, and we get to share, and it's a great thing. So in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, that the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." So we need to be praying for all people. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters right here at Cornerstone. We also need to be praying for the lost, that God will make us useful in reaching people with the gospel. So we need to be praying for those people. We need to be praying for the unchurched. so that we're always in prayer for those people that need the encouragement, that need more of Jesus. Because I believe that we're going to become that church that, people will know when they come into this church building, like what I feel like they do now, that Jesus is here, He's present, and He loves us, and He loves people, and it's going to be awesome. So the last thing that I'm thinking is that we should be a church that lives a life worthy. We've all heard Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, this is Paul talking to the Ephesians, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We can live a life that is worthy of our calling inside of these walls, but if we're living outside of the walls looking differently, then people aren't going to be seeing the life that we're called to be worthy. What does a worthy life look like? I think that it looks like what we're to learn from the Great Commission. We're to go out and make disciples, and we should be focused on that, focused on getting this gospel out there to the world. And it also means that we are making disciples and teaching them to be obedient to what Jesus said. So our lives should be worthy of our calling. And we all have different callings, right? So your calling may not be to preach. It may be, and you just don't know that God wants you to do that yet. I know I didn't just a few years ago. But a life worthy. Your calling could be ministering to people at basketball games. Your calling could be making blankets. Just this weekend, it was awesome because whenever we were moving Big Dave's mom, she had these two quilts, and I didn't think anything of them. They were on her sofa, so I started folding them up, and I put on the fireplace, and she looks back there and goes, oh, hey, that is those blankets that you gave. One of those was for Reeves, and it had the little, you know, knots on there for each prayer. We used to put them up here at the front, and we would pray over them, and each prayer we'd tie a knot in there so that those people would know that they had people actively praying for them. And then she asked for one to be made for her also. So there were two of those quilts there that we made for her, and she loves those things today. Like, it's an awesome thing that she got to have those. So we need to live a life worthy of our calling inside these walls and outside these walls, and people will see what God is doing in our lives and in our church body, because we're a family. The other thing that is a church that we should want to be is a church that loves people. We're good at that. Like, everybody that I know that's ever been out here at Cornerstone, they feel loved out here at Cornerstone. They come out, and while we don't always remember to do our hog jaw time, we still get time to love on people, and we're good at that. We're good at making sure people feel loved that come out here to Cornerstone, and I think that's an awesome part. But it's not just loving the people here. It's loving people out there also, with our actions, with our words, with our prayers, with everything, to love people outside of these walls and try to be involved in our community and in other people's lives. It's so important. And several weeks ago, and I can't remember where, I told you guys that I was looking for some way to be active in people's lives outside of these walls and like having a hard time figuring out where I could go, what I could do. So I said, hey, I'm just going to go up there to the river walk thing, and I'm going to walk down there and find a bench, and I'm just going to sit out there and play my guitar and sing, and everybody that walks by, I'm going to pray for them, and that's going to be something I can actively do in the community. So the night arrives, and I'm nervous, but I still made myself walk down that sidewalk with my guitar and people looking at me strangely, and I sat down on a bench over there by the dam, and I just started playing and singing, and as people walked by, I'd say hi to them and pray for them. Well, then Miss B saved me from that, and she told me about this other thing that I could go and do to be involved in the community, and it's called the Gathering. The Gathering Place, is that what they call it? The Gathering Place. So the Gathering Place, it's a ministry here in town. On every Tuesday night, they feed over 125 people. Like, you anybody in the community can come up there and you can get yourself a meal, and it's right there at Oakdale Park in the little skate building up at the front of Oakdale. So you come in there, they've done all the cooking for you. You don't have to do anything. You just come in there and you can get a meal, because that's their ministry. They want to serve people of the community, and it's not just for people that can't afford a meal or people that can afford a meal. It's for everybody. Just come out and have a good time fellowshipping and enjoying a meal. And if you want to, they've got a donation box there, and you can put some money into that to just thank them and help them out in their ministry, to pay for the food, to pay for the drinks. They've got sweet tea, unsweet tea, and they get things donated, but it's a lot of work, like to feed 100 people, a lot of work. So I started going up there several weeks ago, and I love being there, and I was doing the drinks and enjoying that, and then I said, you know, sometimes you want me to, thinking that she'd go, no, that's okay. I can bring my guitar up here, and I'll just, you know, sit somewhere and play my guitar and sing some songs, and she's like, that'd be great, can you do that next week? Yes. So I brought my guitar up there, and I sang and played some songs and had a good time, and got to enjoy that, and then Ariel and Amber came up, and we've sang some songs and played the guitar, and every week, if I don't bring my guitar, she says, well, you know, where's your guitar? Didn't bring it. Amber's not coming up here. She goes, well, maybe you can bring it again next week. So she is really, you know, Stacy's really enjoying the guitar thing, and I think some of the other people are also, and I enjoy doing that. But when I started a few weeks ago, or two Tuesdays ago, because I was still, like, going up there and playing the guitar, singing, and it's Christian music because that's all I've ever bothered to learn on the guitar. So I'm singing Christian songs, worship songs, and enjoying that. But I started thinking I'm still, like, not getting involved in people's lives. Now, how many of you guys have known me long enough to know that I am picky about food? Very picky about food. So usually whenever they cook something, my brain goes, can't have any of that. It may have onions in it, or it may have vegetables, or it's going to have something I'm not going to like, and then I'm going to start gagging in front of people, and I don't want to do that. So I didn't bother to eat. Well, a couple weeks ago, they had something that looked like it was probably safe, so I ate that, and I went and I just picked a table in the room and went down and started talking with the people who were at the table, and that was pretty cool. So this last time, they had something that looked completely and totally unsafe, and I figured if I took a bite and I didn't like it, then I could just, you know, throw it away. But I was gonna spend time with people, and I didn't. It would be awkward to just go sit down at a table and just start talking. And hey, I'm a pastor in town, and all that kind of stuff. So, I'd get some food, and I'd go over there and sit down and start talking. It was actually good, so I enjoyed the food. But I talked to a family there that they've had their struggles in town, and they aren't currently going to any kind of church. Whenever they have, they've gone out to Stonewater. They were going to some other churches, but they wanted to have a children's church and that sort of thing, but I got to meet them and talk with them and be involved in their lives, and I know her name, and the next time I'll be able to say hi and be able to be part of their family there, and I think it was an awesome time to get to be part of that. So I want to go out and love people, and I want us to all be a church that loves people. Any way that we can find to be involved in people's lives is a great, fantastic thing to do, and they're looking for more volunteers at this thing. They would love to have any of us come up there and help them with the drinks or serving the food, or if you want to come up and play the guitar and sing better than me, then please do. So that's the kind of church. The other thing is a church that's excited about Sunday. Like, I wake up on Sunday mornings really early, and like, I'm anxious to get ready and get up here and start getting everything prepared and making sure the heater works and one that doesn't work, but getting everything ready and getting the computer ready. I get excited about Sundays because it's the day that we set aside for worship, and we can, you know, debate Saturday, Sunday, Sabbath thing, but Sundays is the day that we've set aside to rest and to worship God and to spend time with Him, with our friends and family of Cornerstone Church. So we should be excited about Sunday. We should be excited because it's the day that we get to encourage each other, that we get to be encouraged or encourage people, and that's always a positive thing. We can sit in that Sunday school room and we can talk about the ways that we see God moving in our lives and our friends and in our own life, and we can do these things that's encouraging. It helps us make Jesus more real. A church is excited about Sunday because we get to learn more about our Savior and to see others learn and have those aha moments. How many of you guys have had like an aha moment whenever you're at a service? You hear something or you read something in your Bible and you're like, oh, that answers that question. I've been thinking about that for months, and you get to have those aha moments. So I think that's kind of cool. Also, a church is excited about Sunday because we absolutely love our church family and what God is doing through us. Whenever we get to go and do something like the parade, whenever we get to go out and do these things, it's like awesome to get to see people, meet people, talk to people, and be part of that and be loving to the people in our community. So we need to absolutely love our church family. And I love all of you guys that are coming up here to Cornerstone. And I love a lot of people that aren't here and people that have been here and have left. I'm just excited about their time here because I know that, you know, while we can look at the past and see all these different things that happened, God knew they were going to happen, and God led us to right here where we're at today, where we're doing church exactly as we are, and we're learning to be the church in our community, and without all those things that happen, we may not be here together. And I think that's a cool thing, how God worked all that out to end up with us people that are here each Sunday. I want to be a church that is excited about the future, because we're small, right? We look at this small group and we think, man, what can we really do? How can we impact anyone for the kingdom because we're so small? We're not a bunch of evangelists. We can't just go over there to Africa and speak to those people and see a bunch of people being saved, even though we know guys over there are doing that. We know other churches that people are going over there and they're getting translators. That's not what we're all about. So it's hard to look at our little bitty body and see that there can be a big impact. But I want to remind you guys that church started with Jesus and his 12 disciples. Those 12 went out and spread the word and said, this is what we've seen Jesus doing. This is the promised Messiah. And it was that little bitty group there that went out and spread it to where Christianity is still the number one belief in the world, right? Are we still on the top? And then there's others that fall in there. So we are able to, as a small group, still impact in a big way if we follow what Jesus tells us to do, and we're always looking to him for direction. This little bitty church here can grow to a point that we start having people that are like, hey, you know what I would really like to do? I would love to go out and plant a church in this area. I was in that area with some family. They don't have anything going there that is a great church. You guys are doing awesome here. We've been doing awesome at Cornerstone, and I think that it would be great to plant a church in this area, and we're able to support them and say, okay, then you can leave your job, you can go to that area or whatever, and we will support you in any way. We'll send leadership people out there to help you out. We'll do anything that we can to be able to plant churches in other areas. Either it can start off around here, that it can go out and do things, or we may be planting churches across the world. We never know what God may have planned. But I believe that it all started with a little bitty group, and that with us, we can grow to a point where we can plant churches in other areas. We can also be a church excited about the future because we can be equipping and sending missionaries into the world. The one guy that I've known here at Cornerstone that did missionary work was probably Jerry, right? Jerry would go down to Mexico, and he was kind of like a missionary down there to those people, and he loved doing that. He would carry coats down there. He would do all these different things, and Jerry was like a missionary there. But I believe that God will send us people that have a heart for missions, and they're going to want to go from here and go to Africa, to maybe Europe, to China, to India. These people will want to go all over the world and be missionaries, and I believe that someday in our future, Cornerstone will be able to support those missionaries to do what God's calling them to do. So I think that that's a big vision. A church is excited about the future because we're seeing miracles. In the Bible, I've never seen anywhere that it says miracles don't happen anymore. Have you guys, has anybody seen the Bible where it says miracles don't happen? Nobody's seen that. I believe miracles can still happen, and I believe that miracles do happen. We see them, but sometimes we're so focused in trying to logically figure things out that we can't see that God coordinated this whole thing to happen in such a way that we get to see a miracle right before our eyes. There's people healed of cancer. There are marriages that have been healed by God. That's a miracle a lot of times, especially in today's culture. There are children healed of sicknesses. There's a lot of things that we can't really explain except for seeing that God has taken care of people and God is performing miracles, and it can be through his body. And we don't want to focus on the miracles, but we want to see that God is still at work today, and he does. The other thing about why we should be excited about the future of Cornerstone is because we see God change lives, right? Lives aren't only being changed at FBC. They're not only being changed at the Methodist Church or at Stonewater or wherever. Lives are being changed right here in Cornerstone. We get to see that every week. We get to see people changing. We're baptizing someone next week. That's awesome to me. That's a life change because of our ministry here at Cornerstone and the ministry of his parents. So it's awesome to see lives change. Lives are changed all the time. And at Cornerstone, we have the ability as a small group that we can witness and minister to people, and we will get the opportunity to see Jesus change lives, and that's going to be awesome. That's an awesome part of our future here. So those are the things that I'm looking forward to about being part of Cornerstone Church. It's going to be a lot of work. God never said it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, most of the disciples they had a difficult time out there, and Peter was put on a cross. You know, there were a lot of people that were martyred for their faith. We live in a time and a culture that's great here in the United States in one aspect, that we don't really have to worry about someone coming in here and grabbing a hold of us and chopping all of our heads off. But that's happening just across the ocean over there. People that are believing are holding onto their faith, and we've got to pray for those people that they stay strong through that, and they're being killed for their faith. Here in the United States, Christianity is starting to get a big push, so that's happening, but we don't have to have that fear that those people over there, that whenever they get caught, they're going to have their heads chopped off. So we definitely have got an awesome future here at Cornerstone, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of tough things. As soon as we make a decision to do something, there's going to be spiritual attacks, but we have the God-given abilities to be Jesus Christ and to be Him for the people around, and let Him work through us in order to reach the lost people and the unchurched people. And that's what my vision for Cornerstone is. I can't think of any really cool one-liners that I can put out there to end that, so I'm just going to say that's the end of my vision for Cornerstone. I think that we're going to have a great time. Small group, we're going to grow. It's going to be a great thing as long as we are actively pursuing what Jesus told us to do. And the last thing that I want to talk about is the Thanksgiving thing, right? So this week is Thanksgiving, and I'd forgotten about that, and I said that I watched a video. And in that video by the Skit Guys, it had a guy that it starts off the video, and he had a Thanksgiving chair. So he wakes up in the morning, and whenever he wakes up in the morning, he sees a chair sitting over there into his right beside of his bed, and he walks over and he sits down in it. You may want to turn off my mic because it may make a bunch of racket as I move this. There we go. And he sits down into his chair, and then he just kind of sits there, and that's his Thanksgiving chair, right? So I don't know what he said because there was just music, but my guess is that he was just waking up that day and going, Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to breathe more breath, to have my heart beating, and to learn to love you more and to love other people. That's like what I would imagine him waking up and doing in his Thanksgiving chair. Then it shows video footage of his children sitting at the table. And so he makes his way down there, and I didn't download the video, so I'm just going to tell you guys. So he's sitting there at the table with them, and then he kind of looks over there, and he sees another chair that's sitting in kind of the corner. So he goes over there, and he sits down at that as he's looking at his kids. And then I imagine that that would go something like, you know, Jesus, thank you so much for my children. Thank you for Katie, thank you for Ariel, thank you for Buddy, thank you for what they mean to me, because without them, my life would not look anything at all what it is. God, I thank you that I want to be a father because of those three kids. That's what I think that he would be saying. Again, there were no words. And then it shows him dropping them off at school, and he's in his van, and he, you know, says bye to them, and they take off running, and he's looking out at him, and then he kind of looks back, and then he looks over there, and there's a chair sitting outside of his van. I'm thinking that there was probably some prop guy that was setting this stuff up, right? Because it wasn't there when the camera was over there a second ago, but then suddenly it's there. But there's his Thanksgiving chair, and he's seeing his kids off to school, and maybe he's just thanking God for the education they're getting in the place where he's at, the teachers that are building these people up. Maybe it's the church that's being part of their lives and influencing them, but he's just thankful for those kids and what they're going out to do and all that kind of stuff, and that's really awesome. Then his next thing is he sees, you see him going to a gravesite, and the assumption from watching the video and seeing that is that maybe his wife had died, and that's why she's not in there. So that's a tough thing. I don't have any way to visualize what that is like, but I know that for me, that I could sit down in my Thanksgiving chair whenever I'm thinking about all the things that I'm thankful for, and I could just say, Jesus, thank you so much for Amber, that she is such a great mother to the children that I'm thankful for. Thank you that she is a good wife, that she is just wonderful to me and to our children and to the church family, and you have blessed me tremendously with that woman, and I thank you so much for that. So that could be what my prayer was. But then it just continues, and you see this guy, he's got his Thanksgiving chair wearing, and that makes you think that we should be thankful in all things. That's what we learn in the Bible, be thankful in all things, even the bad things. Again, like with Cornerstone, this church has been blessed throughout the years, and there's been some times that there's been some negative things, but And everything negative that I've gone through in my life, it helps you to grow. It helps you to become the person that you are today. Without those tough times, you may not find strength to endure the tough times at some other point. So we have these negative things that turn into great positive things, and we learn from that. So we need to be thankful for the tough times as well, when we're right in the midst of something that's so hard that we have no idea how we're going to get out on the other side. We should still be thankful for everything good and everything that God's doing, and be thankful for what we're going through, because it's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us a lot stronger. In computer terms, I can't tell you how many different things on computers I have broken over the years in order to learn the ways to actually fix things and make things right again. So in everything, we have problems so that we can learn how to have solutions, and so that we can grow stronger in what it is that we're trying to do. So this coming Thursday, if you're spending time with your family, or if you're right up here at Cornerstone with us and eating some Thanksgiving turkey and dressing and all that thing, try to think this week of all the things that you're thankful for. Like, be grateful for your home, for your children, for your health, for everything, because there's people out there that don't have the things that we do, and sometimes we forget to be thankful for God for everything, including the very breath that we breathe and every single heartbeat that He's allowed us to have, because someday those things are going to end, and we need to be grateful while we can for those things. So what I want to do this morning, and I know this is going to seem kind of weird, and I don't know if Amber brought it in here like what she was supposed to. Is there some notes back there and some tape? Let me see. I'm sorry, y'all. Do you have the notes and tape? Give me 5 seconds. Okay, she'll have them in 5 seconds, so I'll explain to you guys what I'm wanting to do. If you guys would join me, and I was going to do this beforehand, in writing down just like 1 to 3 things that you are thankful for on the little note that Amber's got, and I want us to just tape them up here to the altar and thank God for those 3 things that you guys have. So as we're going into Thanksgiving, we're going in with thankfulness. There's pens back there. She's going to bring some little notes. Don't worry, they're not going to stay up there forever. We'll tear them down and eventually throw them away. But for right now, I just want us to put them up there, pray over that list, pray over all the other lists of the things that they're thankful for, and just be thankful for what God's doing in your life and the things that you can think of that you should be thankful for this morning. Put it at the altar of God and just pray over that this morning. And I think it's going to be a blessing for us to have those things to think about. There's pens in front of the chairs. I'm going to leave the tape up there on the altar. There you go. Bud, you're going to have to take a break from your tablet, please, and write down some things. Come on, Thurman. I know you're thankful for some things, too. Here you go, Noah. You can write down what you're thankful for, too. You can even draw a picture if you want to. Matthew. There you go. And I'm just going to leave the tape right up here. Huh? Yes, ma'am. There you go. And if you didn't get one, I'm going to put the paper right here. So if we can just do that now, and I'm going to write down 3 things myself and put it up there. And Patrick, you can play some soft music if you'd like. The other thing in the video that I didn't bring up, and you can keep the music playing, is one of the shots was of this guy at his work, and it looked like he was very frustrated about something. I don't know what he would have been frustrated about, but he was finding himself frustrated, and he threw down his pen, and he slammed his phone down, and then as he's sitting there in his anger, at the corner of his eye, he sees that chair sitting over there, and so he gets up from his desk, and he sits down at the chair. And while sometimes we're frustrated at work or wherever we're at, and we have something ongoing, that's happening, we can still be thankful for, and in my case, all I can speak for is me, is if I'm frustrated at my job about something, I can still be thankful that I have a job that takes care of myself, my wife, and my kids, and that I get to be part of something there that helps people, and that I get to be part of people's lives there at my job. So even in the midst of some difficult things, there can still be things to be grateful and to be thankful for. I'm putting some tape just up here so you can tear off a piece of the tape. And you guys can bring those up here whenever you would like to. I'm going to have mine. Jesus, we just come before you this morning. We want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives in this church. God, we thank you for family. We thank you for every breath. We thank you for every heartbeat. We take things for granted all the time, God, and we're sorry for that, but we are ever grateful to you and to your Son for what he did on the cross that day. But God, we are just thankful. Help us to be reminded this Thanksgiving season to be grateful for the things that we've got, to be thankful for the things that are coming, to be thankful in every way for everything. We want to give you thanks for all things. God, we thank you for the apostles and for your teachings and that they were able to write those down so that we could have them today to learn from them. God, we just ask that you continue to bless Cornerstone Christian Fellowship out here on FM 202. We know that you placed us out here for a reason and that you're going to change lives here at this church building. And if not here, through the church members that are following you, we just want to thank you for our ministries, for the things you've laid on our hearts and the way that you have changed our lives. And we want to see lives changed in other places. God, thank you for every single thing that's at your altar here this morning. We've put everything before you that we're thankful for. In short notes, and there's so much more that we do have to be thankful for, but we've put things up there that we just want to give to you. We want to thank you. We want to lift you up the way that you've lifted us up, and we thank you that because of you that we can have an eternity in heaven with God our Father. God, as we leave this church building today, I just want to ask you to be with us and to help us to be strong. And we love you, and we want to just honor you. And we're going to have the Lord's Supper here momentarily, and we just want to ask that you would be part of that as we break bread and as we drink in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen.